Last week, we began a special type of, a series of Sunday night services, and I don't know when it will end, where I will be teaching, or whoever's up here will teach for about 30 minutes, and then we will have approximately 30 minutes of prayer, and then we'll dismiss and go home. Now, the reason for that is because that's what God wants. But beyond that, yeah, good reason. But beyond that, churches generally, my observation has been that churches generally have gotten away from corporate prayer. Well, it's not like we can have a whole lot of corporate prayer in this room with all the quarantining and so forth, but I'm trusting that those of you watching are joining with us and you're doing this. And last week, I told you to have a paper and some pen and make a list. We'll go over that again real quickly here. But we took a look at two places of Scripture to open up. We were in Psalm 71, verse 3, and Psalm 91, verses 9 through 10. And in those passages, it talks about us making God our habitation. But then, in Exodus 15, verse 2, and Psalm 132, verses 2 through 5, it talks about us making a habitation for God. So we can make God our habitation, but not invite Him in so that we are His habitation. In other words, He wants it to work both ways. And when it comes to us making a habitation for God, individually, we do that primarily through prayer and worship. But then corporately, as a church, as a congregation, it's the same principle. Prayer and worship are the two ways that we can collectively and actively create a habitation for God. And it isn't, some people might say, God doesn't need an invitation. Well, yeah, He does. Because if God wanted the fullness of His presence known everywhere, all the time, regardless of what anybody else wanted, well, it'd be happening. But you and I both know that's not the case. And so therefore, we do our part, He does His part, and then He's our habitation, and we are His habitation. And He wants to move. He wants to use us to bring about revival. He works through us. We are the body of Christ, and God works through His body to bring about His results, His desire. We want revival. He wants revival. And it's not simply a matter that we're seeking exclusively for signs and wonders. We want His presence. We want His glory. And signs and wonders and healings so forth will come along with that. So we're seeking Him more than the demonstrations, but we will have demonstrations the further we go into His presence. We're supposed to conform to the image of the glory of Christ, not conform to signs, wonders, and miracles, but the more we conform to the image of the glory of Christ is the more that we will have the demonstrations of power. Now, when it came to the prayer list, there were 5 points for that prayer list. And the first one was 5 things you want to change about your own life, regardless of what it is. You want to change your diet. You want to change some of your habits. You want to be more faithful in your church attendance. You want to be on time for church attendance. There are some things that you need to repent of. You want to read your Bible more. This list could go on. But 5 things that you want to change in your life. And it will help if you ask God, what 5 things do I need to change about me? Also, as far as this church is concerned, the next point was praying that this church will be a remnant revival church. That means that as a congregation, there needs to be repentance, seeking after God, a hunger for His presence and for His glory, His word, and so forth, and a lifestyle of holiness. That as a congregation, we are what He wants as far as a church is concerned. Also, praying that this region, known as the Miami Valley, that there would be revival in the Miami Valley, that God's presence would be, like a canopy over this region. That means it's going to impact other churches, not just this one, but it will impact other churches as well. In fact, it's not a bad thing when you're driving around town, you know, you see a church and you think of it to say, Father, may revival break out in that church. We want His will done. The next point was identifying by name between 5 and 10 people concerning their salvation. Now, this can be people that are lost. It could be people that at one time were serving the Lord, but right now you're not so sure where they are with God. They're backslidden, whatever the case would be. You see, it's not just a matter of praying, oh, God, save my whole family. Okay, well, you know, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, you know, cousins and all this. But when you put a name to it, that is something very, very specific, and it helps us then to focus on this, to focus on those people. So between 5 and 10 people by name, you don't have to have 10, but you should be able to come up with at least 5 that that you want walking that walk with Christ, and then list people that need to see healing in their body. And you can add yourself on that list, but list by name people that you know need to see a healing manifested in their body, and then you begin to pray about that. So, and you can add more to your prayer list. This is not the only; these aren't the only things you can add, but you can add more if you want to. It's totally up to you. Now, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, last week we started this, and it will continue as long as, just as long as it continues until the Lord shifts and we go a different direction. But we were praying last week, and we spent 30 minutes in prayer, and then we concluded and dismissed and went home. But look here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now, both in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and here in Hebrews chapter 10, where he's talking about our profession and our profession of faith, the primary focus of this is our profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. But the concept, profession of faith, goes far beyond that. In other words, it's not only about our relationship with Jesus, but it's, in general, our profession of faith in everything about Jesus and everything about who we are in Christ. Now turn over to Mark 11 and give you a little more detail about this. Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now I'll stop right there. Look at this. In verse 23, he's identifying what you say. In verse 24, he's identifying what you pray. Now, we've already seen in 1 Timothy 6 and Hebrews 10 about the profession of our faith. Here, in verse 23, we see that if we believe and don't doubt in our heart, then we can have things that we say. They'll come to pass. Then in verse 24, whatever we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we shall have them. And this is all a part of having faith in God. Another way to say that is having the faith of God in operation in our lives. Now, this is important, and here's why. When we talk about the profession of our faith, we're talking about a declaration of what we believe. Jesus says, if you don't doubt in your heart and believe that those things you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. He also says, if you believe, then whatever you pray for, you'll have it. So we see two things at work here. Our prayers and our profession. Now when we come together and we pray, we can all pray a good prayer. Well, most of us. I learned a lot about prayer when I got more into churches that taught about faith. But we can pray a good prayer. Oh, Father, and then we just go on, we pray, and I thank you for this, and I pray, and so forth. So we pray a good, inspirational, man, it comes from the heart, and it lines up with Scripture, and so forth. You know, that kind of a prayer. But when we walk away from the prayer, our profession has to line up with our prayer. Because if you walk away from your time of prayer and, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I'm righteous, and so I'm effectually praying. And we pray, and, you know, quote Scripture. And I mean, all of it. We do it exactly the way that we should on Sunday night. But then, maybe even before we get home after church, we're speaking opposite of what we just prayed. So now, what do you think is going to happen? James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let me paraphrase what James wrote. You can go and read it later on. But James said, that person can think he's going to get all kinds of things from God, but he ain't getting nothing. Because you can pray perfectly according to the will of God. And over in 1 John, it talks about how we know that if we pray according to His will, we'll have whatsoever we pray. We know that. We know that. However, when we walk away from the prayer, and Monday through Saturday, our confession does not line up with our prayer, then, guys, I've got news for you. That prayer is not going to avail very much at all. Because you're canceling that prayer out with confession that is opposite of what you just prayed for. And you know, you say, well, I prayed and I believed. Well, at that moment, that may be so. But the reality of the fullness of your belief is demonstrated the rest of the week. Because if your confession, if your profession does not line up and agree with your prayer, then really your prayer was almost like something you've been trained to say, not something that truly comes out of a heart that is believing. Because what you're believing is what you're really confessing the rest of the week when you're not down on your knees, when you're not in church, when you don't have your Bible, when you're just going about, you know, your daily whatevers, and what comes out of your mouth, that's what you really believe. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, but when Jesus says, you know, don't doubt on your heart, but whatever you say, believe you'll receive it, it'll come to pass. What? Do you really want all that stuff to come to pass? Your Monday through Saturday? Do you really want all that to come to pass? Do you really want to see those things happen? No. I want my verse 24 Sunday night prayer stuff to come to pass. Well, you need to support it with your Monday through Saturday profession. It all has to line up. You can't be double-minded with any of this. So why is it that some people would be double-minded? Well, in part, it's because they really don't trust God. Now, here's what I mean. Turn over to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. You know, you can get a lost person and put them in a praising situation. And what I mean is, you have a lost person and they're not even sure if they believe in God. But to keep somebody happy, they're going to church. They go to church Sunday morning, go to church Sunday night, go to church Wednesday night, and then, you know, go home and have their beer and their pot and their porn and, I mean, whatever else. They're not born again. But if they're in a church that's a praising church, what's going to happen if they're in that church long enough? they're going to start humming the praise songs they've heard in church. It's not because they've suddenly gotten converted. It's because that's just what they've heard. Likewise, if they're in that church and people all around them, every service, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sooner or later, that person's going to be at work. Something's going to happen. And they're going to say, praise the Lord. And then they're going to catch themselves. Oop, where'd that come from? It's because that's what they've been trained to say. Likewise, you have a lot of Christians, they pray out of what they've been trained to say, not out of what has been sown in their heart and what they really believe. Now, when it comes, well, in fact, look in, I said Psalm chapter 9. Look at verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, this whole aspect of they that know your name, what this is describing is a really close personal relationship with God, a first name basis with God, if you will. They that know you, they that know your name, all right, they're the ones that are going to trust you. You're not going to forsake them, and they know it. They absolutely know it. Look in Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. We're good at confessing that, singing it, but the thing is, if we do not know His name, meaning if we don't have that kind of relationship with Him, all we're doing is repeating something that we've heard. When our relationship with Him is one of deep trust, that's when we know He is all of verse 2 to us. And when we come to the place of knowing it, I mean really knowing it, we will not confess opposite. We'll pray in line with it. Oh God, you are my fortress. I thank you, Lord. We'll know how to pray. But then Monday through Saturday, our profession is opposite our belief, our stated belief in verse 2. In the same chapter, look in verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. Trust in a person, trust in someone, is established in a major way on that person's word. Now, you cannot pray God's will if you don't know God's will. God's word, Scripture, it gives us a revelation of His will for every circumstance, no matter what it is. Call it healing, financial provision, wisdom, peace, direction, whatever it is. God's word gives us a revelation of His will and what He will do. How can you trust God if you don't know what He has said or what He's promised? How can you truly trust Him? You learn to say you trust Him, but if you really trust Him, your profession is going to line up with your prayer. The more that we sow God's word into our hearts and into our minds, is the more we know how to pray, how to trust, how to believe, and how to speak. So when you get around Christians who, you know, they pray a good prayer, but then the rest of the time, what they say, it contradicts what they've prayed. It contradicts what they say they believe. It contradicts their declaration of a trust in God, because when you truly trust in God, you're going to know what He said, because trust is based in part out of what you know He's promised. You know, if a lot of Christians, the way that they talk about God, you know, through the week now, not their church prayers, but their, you know, daily life profession. If that's how they talked about their marriage, I don't know that they'd stay married, because they'd be full of doubt concerning whether or not their spouse believes them, whether or not they can trust their spouse. Well, I don't know. You know, I went to the store and I don't know what she's doing while I'm gone. For all I know, she got the neighbors coming over and they're having some whoop-de-doo party. I mean, now see, that just sounds weird. It really does. But yet, that is a perfect example of somebody who doesn't know they can trust their spouse. Well, if I don't know how I can trust my God, how in the world can I have a profession of trust? That's where His Word comes into play. I absolutely must have His Word, "Thy Word have I sown in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." We'll say it like this, "Thy Word have I sown in my heart, put it in me, that I may know to trust You in everything." Not just when I pray, but when I walk away from my prayer time, and the rest of my week, the rest of my days, my profession of faith lines up perfectly with what I've prayed, because both my prayer and my profession line up with what You have already said in Your Word. This is absolutely critical. And this right here is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians don't see answers to prayers. It's because they know how to pray, but it's not in their heart. And then the rest of the week, their profession isn't even close to what they're praying, to what they say they believe. When you truly believe it, it comes out. I can tell somebody, "Kathy loves me." You know why? Because I know she loves me. I believe it. You know, after all these years, listen, after all these years, she said it over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, 30 plus years of hearing, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." I believe it by now. I believe it. What if she had only said it one time, the day that we got married? And now, here we are, 36 years later, and I haven't heard it since. You know, I'd sit around scratching my head thinking, I'm not really sure if she loves me or not. I mean, she said it just enough to get that ring on my finger, but beyond that, I don't know. And I would be justified in having that doubt. But because she continues to declare it to me, and because of the relationship, I know her name. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I know I can trust her. I know I can trust her. That's the way it's supposed to be with us and God. That's the way we're supposed to pray. That's the way we're supposed to profess. And we will see answers to our prayers. The Word of God is the key. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and begin our prayer time. And we'll come back together in 30 minutes and close out. Praise You, Father. Bless You. Father, I thank You for this time that we've had together here in this room, but also wherever people are watching and joining in. You have heard our prayers, Father. And those of us that did pray in faith, believing, You're moving. Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to how we speak beyond our times of prayer, and that our profession would line up with our prayers, and that all of it would line up with Your will, because You move within the structure of Your will and Your Word. So thank You again for this tonight, Father. Watch over us as we leave and head home, and just provide that divine protection over us and our vehicles. I praise You, I love You, and I thank You for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.